In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Christmas. Christmas, my friends. Time for shopping. Time for the most stressful season of the year. What will be the menu for our Christmas dinner? Which mass should we attend to make sure the food is ready and served on time? To also make sure that the children will behave on this holy occasion. Are we good with our Christmas gifts? Did we miss anybody? Will the sacrosanct Amazon truck deliver all the gifts on time? So many thoughts going through our heads now that we are just a week and a half away from Christmas. And of course, I have not forgotten the most important guest, the good Lord. And hopefully the nativity set will be up this week, or is already up, in a place of honor. I'm sure you all set the nativity scene first before placing the Christmas tree. But in the back of our minds, a question arises. What am I going to give to the King of Kings on that holy Christmas night? Thankfully, we did not have to worry too much about finding a good gift, since Holy Scriptures offered one already for us. And entering the house, they found the child with Mary, his mother, and falling down, they worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold has been used as a form of currency, as we know, for thousands of years due to its unique properties like durability or scarcity, the fact that it is rare and precious. Gold, considered as a material of high value that serves as generally accepted as a medium of financial exchange. So legal tender for repayment of debt, or simply a standard of value. And so in this divine exchange of goods, in the spiritual Christmas market we have with God, we find ourselves with that opportunity to bring him something, that same gold, the same gold brought by the wise men, which is, I think, comparable to the many prayers sent to heaven. The debt we have contracted is infinite, and only Christ's death on the cross was able to pay off that debt we had contracted due to the sin of Adam and Eve and our own sins. But in return, we still owe him acts of adoration, in strict justice, of thanksgiving, of atonement, reparation for our sins, and we should also continue to ask for what we need in order to purchase our ticket to heaven. Our spiritual life, our prayer life, becomes then the first means to pay off that debt. Not, if not in its entirety, at least partially. As gold needs to be thrown into the crucible, where it burns and melts, removing all, in that process, all imperfections, so does the fire of divine love purify and intensify my prayers, giving them an infinite value in time and in eternity. So my prayers should become that inestimable gift, treasure, from which I can extract the precious jewels that will be received by God, my creditor, my judge, and my redeemer. Frankincense now. And the symbolism of the use of incense at Mass is quite self-explanatory. If you read the words the priest pronounces each time he blesses the incense at the invitation of the server or at the invitation of the deacon, as in the Mass today. He says, "May this incense, which thou hast blessed, O Lord, ascend to thee, and may thy mercy descend upon us." And when returning the thurible to the thurifer, he says, "Enkindle in us, Lord, the fire of your love and the flame of eternal charity, So the burning coals, charcoals, represent our Lord's human nature, always consummated in that divine fire of love. And the grains of incense poured on the charcoals represent the faithful thrown into that divine furnace of love, coming out from the pierced side of our Lord on the cross. And so this shall be our second present, a more intense charity that will rekindle our lives, our homes, our families before Christmas, well aware that the evil one will try his best to create chaos and divisions, as he particularly hates the mystery of a God made man. Because too shameful, too humiliating for him, a more perfect creature than man. With all our humanity, we come before the incarnate Lord to offer all that our human nature can offer him, with the talents, qualities we have received, as well as the many imperfections, weaknesses acquired over time or inherited. And the sweet odor ascending before him shall be that sweetness, that kindness, meekness so dear to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that meekness arising from all our deeds, words, and thoughts. And the smoke and good odor of charity, as we know, doesn't make any noise. It doesn't shine, or does not hopefully suffocate others, but quietly and patiently diffuses itself little by little and penetrates all souls around us. And so special efforts for this last week and a half before Christmas, special effort to avoid maybe being too easily impatient, rude, or too easily judgmental. And we know how many opportunities will be given with friends coming over, family members, in-laws visiting, and trying to foster in the home a true spirit of charity and kindness. The spirit of Christmas, spirit of joy, spirit of peace. And finally, myrrh. Myrrh is a precious balm, which when brought to our Lord, announced already his passion, his death, and his burial. This priceless balm, which signifies death to the world and life to eternal bliss. It is, as we know, used to soothe and calm muscles or the body, but primarily to protect it from whatever could cause more pain. It is also used to protect it from the many effects of death and corruption, as when we say that mummies are embalmed. And so today's third gift shall be a greater spirit of mortification. Not only in protecting the body and its senses from the many attacks from the outside, in abusing such things as food, alcohol, or screen time with all its dangers, but also inwardly, in applying the balm of mortification over any thoughts or desires to lean towards anything that would corrupt the soul and destroy grace in us. The presence of mortification as this struggle against our evil inclinations, in order to subject them to the will first and to the will of God as well, this practice of mortification, keeping all these passions in check, like the reins for the horse, this mortification reminds us of our final destiny, the reason of our existence, reminds us of the shortness of life, and of the beatitude prepared for us in heaven. Otherwise, mortifications, keeping the body in check and all these senses, would have no particular purpose. Let's recall the words of the great Saint Paul. I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. So less than 2 weeks to prepare our presents, most precious, most beautiful gifts for the King of Kings, making as much effort as possible with the help of grace to make sure that those gifts will be in our hands on that holy Christmas night before approaching the holy crib. And as you notice today, as we said, the organ is playing. The flowers are back on the altar just for the day. And you heard the joyful invitation of the introit of the Mass, the very first word of the introit of the Mass, proper for today. Gaudete, rejoice. Rejoice. Let us take advantage then of this whole liturgical break in the middle of this Advent season to reshape our daily life, restructure our life, maybe replacing things in the proper order, the proper hierarchy of priorities, my duties towards God, towards myself, my family, etc. As you know, I like to remind us that peace, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, peace is the tranquility of order. Peace is the tranquility of order. When things are where they should be, and there's the proper order in things, the proper hierarchy, then that brings peace. You feel comfortable in a clean, neat room with harmony and so on. When there's disorder, when there's chaos, you lose peace. That's the very purpose of mortal sins. It puts everything upside down in our lives, in our relation with God, losing that peace. And what is the lasting fruit? The fruit of a lasting peace is joy. Fruit of a lasting peace, a constant peace, a stable peace, is joy. Do I have joy in my life? How much more enjoyable and beneficial would Christmas be this year if the presents I had prepared for the Kings of Kings were not all already damaged, broken, torn? Far from us the thought of presenting empty hands to God when already so many souls among our contemporaries, so many souls around us have completely lost the true meaning and value of Christmas. May this Christmas, in church or at home, be another little Bethlehem, where the divine infant shall open his merciful eyes to us, hopefully not filled with tears, but filled with joy, offering also his own hands to receive from us the fruit of our courageous and humble efforts. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.